And now let's take a listen to my interview with Marty Schultz from Blindfold Games. Marty, thank you so much for coming back on Life After Blindness.
Oh, thanks for inviting me today.
So, Marty, it's been a while since we last spoke, almost a year now. We talked about talking about your apps and how Apple was treating them. And I know we got through that safe and sound, thank goodness, almost a year ago. But since then, you've been doing a lot of different things with Blindfold Games, as well as new initiatives that you're taking on. Talk to me a little bit about what's been going on the last year or so.
Sure. So I continue to publish a game or so every month or so. I think we're up to about 80 games. We have about 20,000 game fans worldwide. But over the past 6 months or so, I've been contacted by a lot of O&M specialists, orientation mobility specialists, and teachers of visually impaired and vision rehabilitation therapists. And I've been hearing that they're starting to use a bunch of the games in settings working with young kids in school to practice different skills, be it cardinal directions or compass directions or memory or fine motor control, a variety of different skills, all of which kind of fall into this expanded core curriculum that's kind of become a buzzword now within a lot of the teachers of visually impaired. And I was actually in New York City a while ago meeting with the people over at the Lighthouse Guild, and they mentioned to me how there's a real dearth of apps and ways for younger visually impaired kids to practice any of the things they learn, and it's causing them to be held back a little more and not be as efficient with assistive technology as they could be. So I was recently, I think in May, I went out to the VisionServe Alliance. This is a conference of a lot of the heads of the organizations that provide services for blind and visually impaired people, like the Lighthouses, people like American Printing House for the Blind, American Foundation for the Blind, and a large number of organizations. And I was kind of running the idea by them. I said, does it make sense for us to come out with a set of games that are really focused on the skills that kids need and be able to track the kids' progress somehow in the cloud and have a dashboard available for the teachers and the specialists to see that the child is making the right type of progress? So whether it's something like Blindfold Barnyard or any of the other games that are used in these type of settings, it would kind of be a fun way to practice these skills. And I got a lot of positive feedback. So I actually went out to the AER conference in Reno about a month ago, which is kind of an organization that provides, I don't know if it's certification, but a lot of teachers of visually impaired students attend this. I think they had almost 1,000 attendees at their conference. So I started asking people at that conference whether they need for it. So I would go up to people who were attending the conference and I'd ask if they were familiar with Blindfold Games. And a lot of them were. And if they were, then I'd ask, can I talk to them for about 10 minutes or so and record the conversation? And many of them gave me permission to do that. And I would ask them, okay, how are you using the games and why are they important in your practice? And what I learned is in addition to the games being a reward for proper behavior from kids, they're also used to practice skills. And I learned that a lot of the teachers are only working with the students once or twice a week for anywhere from a half hour to an hour or two. And that they expect the student to practice any of the skills that they were taught. And so that next week when the teacher comes back, they could move on to some other skills. And what I heard over and over again was, the teacher would spend time with the child teaching something, let's say it's compass directions or clock directions, and they'd come back the next week and there'd be no progress because the student wasn't motivated to practice and the parents didn't have time. So, and the regular, be it first grade or second grade or kindergarten teacher didn't have time because she had too many other children to deal with in the classroom. And the paraprofessional didn't really have time to work and do the right things because they were busy prepping the kid for the lesson. So they said, but when they use one of the blindfold games to teach that, the kids actually acquire the skill and they can really make progress over a week-by-week basis. And I heard this enough times that I said, okay, there's probably a real need here. Around the same time, I sent out a survey to everybody on the mailing list, and anyone has a game, so people might have seen the survey come by, where I kind of ask a couple of dozen questions. I put together this survey with a number of TVIs and a number of professors who specialize in this. And we found out, I expected to get a couple of hundred responses on the survey. There are about 6,000 specialists throughout the United States who work with visually impaired students. And I thought I'd get a couple hundred responses. I ended up getting about 1,500 responses.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
It was overwhelming. Yeah, like between a third, between a quarter and a third of the people who work in this field got back to me and really told me that, you know, doing something like these, you know, educational-based games would be quite a benefit. So I also asked kind of what age groups do you work on, and most of the majority are in the pre-K through about fourth grade. And I also asked how many students do you, in your caseload, and from the student count as well, it represented between a quarter and a third of the students that are listed as legally blind or visually impaired requiring these type of services in, throughout the United States. And, you know, heard from several hundred overseas as well. So that was enough for us to go back and start saying, okay, there's really a need here. So let's continue to find out who these teachers of the visually impaired are, get the word out to them, talk to the orientation mobility specialist, talk to a visual rehabilitation therapist, and let them know that we're putting together an organization that can actually produce curriculum-based games. And it's everyone I talked about thinks it's a wonderful idea, and we're moving ahead.
Now, the transition from the Blindfold game series to this new initiative actually makes a lot of sense to me, because as you were talking about, things like Blindfold Barnyard and so many other games come to mind when it comes to coordination or just learning, just all kinds of different skills, quite honestly, can be found in many of your games. And if you say there's 80 games, I probably have a good 60 or 70 of them myself. So I understand that, yeah, there's a lot of content there that could be pulled out and used in an educational environment, not just for the situation, like you said, about parents or teachers rewarding the child with time playing those games, but taking it the extra step to make them more educational, more directed in a way. So what was that transition like? What kind of things were the teachers looking for and the professionals looking for, and what did you do to accommodate that?
Well, we're actually going to use the Blindfold games as a model to build the new games, but we're doing everything really from scratch because we want to make sure that the games are equally accessible across both iPhone and iPad and Android and the type of computers that are found in most schools these days, which are things like Chromebooks or other netbooks. So whereas all the Blindfold games I wrote in my spare time in a language called Objective-C, all the new games will probably be designed in Unity, which is a gaming engine, and will be available on all these different platforms because, again, you don't know what a school has. And the concept that we tested out in Blindfold Games is really a model, but everything's going to be rewritten from the ground up and using much better engineers than I am to do a good job.
Well, that's a very modest approach, but that being said, anybody who's played any of the Blindfold games knows that they are a whole lot of fun and can be anywhere from simple to very in-depth. So it'll be interesting to see where these new apps go in the future. And that's the thing I liked about it when I first read about this from you, Marty, when you were talking about making it multi-platform, not just iPhone, iPad, but Android, you know, PC, Chromebook. That's going to be a large undertaking, but I think you're right. That's a very important aspect because you don't know necessarily what the schools have available.
That's right. By using a gaming engine called Unity, you can aim at all those platforms simultaneously. And again, you know, school districts that have more money are more likely to have iPads for their students, whereas school districts in more depressed areas of this country might have Android, you know, pads because they're so much less expensive. And, you know, those that haven't updated their hardware recently, they'll probably have some sort of Chromebook because they're also very inexpensive. And, you know, of course, it'll basically, on those platforms, it'll be browser-based as opposed to the iPhone. And on the iPhone, it'll be a native app. And on the Android, it'll be a native app. The other thing that a lot of these games will start doing is recording in the cloud for the teacher to look at is how much time the student is playing the game, what levels of the game they're at, what skills are being tested, how well they're accomplishing those skills. So we'll actually map a lot of the objectives that the teacher has for the student into specific ways that the game will behave.
As a parent myself of a 6-year-old, she's just gotten in the first grade. I think that's a fantastic part of it to have implemented is to be able to have the teacher see what the child is learning, what they're doing, how they've made certain achievements, and then they can maybe tailor the experience or what they want the child to do from there. And then, of course, be able to interact with the parents of the child so they can say, here's what the child is doing, here's what they're learning, here's how they're learning it. So I think having that level of interaction not only, of course, helps the child and the teacher, but also can bring the parent into this as well.
Right, and the parent can make sure the kid is playing properly and is learning. It helps everybody all around. So, you know, it helps the teacher because she knows the student is moving ahead properly. It helps the school district because they know that they're moving the student more and more towards independence. And of course, the parent's happy that the child is also achieving independence.
So like you said, you are starting from scratch with this, but using blindfold games as a model to help guide what you're going to do going forward. Do you have an idea yet in this kind of pre-production or this early stage, what types of games you're going to use to measure these things and how you're going to help the children learn?
I think the game that we're going to model it around first will be Blindfold Barnyard, because that does so many amazing skills that it just kind of blows me away that I just stumbled into that game. I mean, obviously it does fine motor control. It does compass directions, clock directions. It requires memory to remember what's on what side of the fences. It also, I didn't even realize this, I was talking to Diane Browner, who writes for Perkins Path to Technology, that blog that goes out a couple times a week. And she says it even teaches how to touch and drag, which is an important skill that students need to learn as they use these type of different accessible devices and they want to be independent, is learning how to touch and drag. So there's so many skills there. So we're going to use that as the first game. We haven't decided what the second game is going to be, but our goal is to build about two games, build out the cloud-based storage system and a web-based dashboard, with all the proper security levels so that we're compliant with concepts like FERPA, which keeps a lot of student data private, and other issues. So we'll kind of prototype with those and hope to get something done, you know, by the end of the year or early next year.
That does make a lot of sense, using Blindfold Barnyard as kind of a first, you know, platform and general, you know, use case basically for these games, because you're right, there's so many different aspects of the game. And that brings to mind a lot of aspects of many of your games where you're dragging in a spatial awareness kind of environment. You know, you have to have that spatial awareness. You know, your basketball game comes to mind, several other games come to mind, where you're in an environment and having to know where you are in that environment, dragging across the screen, going and picking up an item, you know, for instance. And so I think something like Blindfold Barnyard has a lot of those elements in it and can be a good launching point for games like that. Now, would you have it be where you're using games like that to introduce not just, of course, other educational concepts, but also, like you just said, basic concepts about using smartphones or you know, these types of devices? Would you ever go as far as making a game that's specific to teaching a child, here's how you use all the gestures within an iPhone, say, for instance?
We actually already did that with Blindfold Bop Gesture. That was a project.
Well, that's true, yeah.
That does that. And of course, now that we got some good, really good engineers on it, they can take that game, which I kind of threw together between knowing what was needed to help seniors who are losing their vision, as well as make a fun game. But the goal of that game came out of a collaboration with the Braille Institute, where they said, we need something to help seniors losing their vision not be afraid of using you know, the iPhone, and teach them all these voiceover gestures. So I built the game, and then I found the game was really popular with everybody because it just gets faster and faster. And I use my and I use my daughter's voice to add more emotion back to it, because I knew voiceover would never give it that same flavor of personalized attention. So it was the second time the second game I've used her voice on. The first game, of course, being Blindfold Racer.
Of course.
And getting her to cooperate was always a challenge, because when she did the voices for Blindfold Bop Gesture, I think she was about 16 and a half years old already, and a little harder to convince to do things. But she did she did a great job on it, and it's pretty popular. So, you know, the game, we'll probably do a couple of games that are designed around learning assistive technology, be it learning the gestures or learning the keyboard or whether it's learning Jaws. So there's enough things out there that we can make them fun games. And again, record how well the student is doing to make sure that the kids learn and the teachers see that the kid is learning and the parents see as well.
Absolutely. I think that collaboration and putting it in that way is going to be so helpful, like I said before, to be able to have parents, teachers, and children all on the same page and knowing the child is learning, but having fun at the same time. And I think that's really the most important part here is the children will be learning, but having such a good time while they're learning that they won't even know or care that they're learning. And that's always very important.
You want to hear something amusing that I never even realized, but the games are doing. And this kind of blew me away, which is I was talking to one of the teachers in Reno at the AER conference. And she was telling me sometimes the blindfold games are actually teaching leadership skills. These teachers mentioned that and more often than not, the visually impaired student will follow their peers and do whatever their peers are suggesting and don't really get into a leadership role. But when one of them starts playing one of the blindfold games and they really like it, they start showing their friends about the game and then they get all their friends playing it too. And from that, these students are learning actually leadership skills in convincing the group to do something and then making sure everybody learns the game and they can all kind of play together. And I just thought that was fascinating.
That is really fascinating that not only can they share the games then with their peers and have that experience, in their community, but then you're right, to be able to say, you know what, I'm not following in this aspect, I'm going to be a leader. I think it's a very important concept for any child, of course, to have. And so if the games have that side effect of showing a child how to be a leader and how to share and interact in their environment with their peers, I think that's a fantastic side effect.
And again, it had surprised me. So I was glad that the games are not only used to encourage, practice skills and being used as rewards for students, but it's also teaching leadership skills.
Absolutely.
So the next step, you had mentioned to me earlier about the blindfold games, and I'm continuing to publish the games. Currently, I'm working on a game that people have been requesting about the past year or two, which is a game where you can take care of a virtual dog, where you have to walk it and feed it and play with it. You want to make sure you take the dog's leash on and off properly and when you come back home. And even if you're not actively playing the game, if there's a task you have to do with your dog, like feed it in the morning or walk it afterwards, it'll actually notify your phone that there's a task for you to take care of with your dog, so people will be able to play this kind of round the clock and while they're doing other things. That should be an exciting game.
I think that'll be really exciting. I know there's a lot of people that are looking forward to a game like that where they can take care of a virtual pet. I know there are games out there like that are not at all accessible for the blind and visually impaired with voiceover. And so I'm sure that'll be a very popular game as well. Anything else that you're looking into doing?
I've been getting a lot of requests for a shooter game, and I'm looking for some sort of nonviolent shooting game. And a couple of people have suggested doing a game where you're a firefighter putting out fires. So in the simplest way, you're simply moving your iPhone left and right, aiming at the fires and shooting the water. As it gets more complex, there'll be more tasks that you have to fulfill, rescuing people from buildings or using other types of, using foam as opposed to water and based on what the fire is from. So that should be fun. It'll take a while to build it out.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I am looking forward to that now that you mentioned it. That'd be a lot of fun to be able to, put out the fires, like you say, rescue people from buildings. Almost brings, this shows my age, but the old, helicopter rescue from the 80s, landing the copter on top of the building and going and rescuing the people and, very crude graphics back at the time, but still a lot of fun gameplay. So yeah, to be able to be a firefighter and doing that in a nonviolent way, like you said, and actually, again, going back to that leadership ability and learning how to do that and having the pride in putting out the fires, saving people, and achieving those things in a game, I think would be fantastic just for people of any age, quite honestly.
It should be fun, and I'll keep you posted as we build it out.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that. Well, Marty, as we wrap up our conversation here, if people want to get a hold of you or find out more information about Blindfold Games and your education initiatives, all the things that you're doing, how can they get in touch with you and find out more?
Okay, to follow the games, I have a website called blindfoldgames.org, and it lists, I blog on this about twice a week, either about a game or other activities we're up to, as well as there's a full list of all the games there in one of the tabs, and the website's fully accessible. People can follow me on Twitter, @blindfoldgames. And then as far as the other activities I'm up to, including the new company. I'm tweeting it at MartySchultz111.
Very good. Well, I strongly encourage everyone out there to take a look at what Marty's doing at blindfoldgames.org and everything going on with him. And Marty, I want to thank you so much for coming back on Life After Blindness and talking with me about it all.
Well, thanks.